It's November. What is this? This is November 16th, I guess. November 16th, Wednesday night, and we are on part two. It seems like I don't just do one sermon anymore. I should have done a sermon on that word that Peter had, that was a dissimulation or whatever that thing was, dissembled. That's a sermon in itself. But anyway, part two, here comes Peter, good. Part two, we are looking at, we're done with Peter's Great Commission. And we notice as we go through Acts, Paul is still doing a lot of the things that we don't do today. And we can doctrinally, you know, disprove some of them, like tongues or whatever, and healing, and claim their signs. But that's the Baptist way of doing stuff, or the Bible people way of doing stuff, because some things they don't. They still do the laying hands thing. They still expect healing if they have a prayer chain. Maybe there's enough people pray, maybe they can all change God's mind. Nothing wrong with telling everybody what's going on. For prayer, because Paul tells us to pray for everybody without ceasing. We should be praying anyway. And so, but to think that we can get a prayer chain and convince God to heal somebody for a change, you know, that kind of stuff. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, well, we are, and we see how it's used differently in the Peter's great commission. We've been looking at we looked at Acts 9 to 15 on Sunday night. And we saw things that, you know, like I say, we don't do. Having a revelation from God. Blinding somebody because he's an evil person. Having a vision, Acts 9. Baptism takes place during this stuff with Paul. Paul even himself is baptized after he's saved as such, but even his salvation is different than what he teaches us about salvation. The Lord himself spoke to Paul directly, that kind of a thing, and there's fasting that takes place. There's other blindings going on. There's signs and wonders. There's ordaining or ordination, fasting. There's an open door of faith, talks about there. There's somebody being healed because they have enough faith. And we don't hear those things from Paul when he teaches us as to the Gentiles. So what we see here is we see an immense amount of Jewish associations here, knowing that all this stuff is part of the Great Commission, according to Mark, the last chapter, Luke, the last chapter, and Matthew, the last chapter. So Paul's involved with this stuff. Paul even himself said he went to Jerusalem first. He went to the Jews first. And we're seeing this transition take place here to where he's going away from the Jews more and more, and he's going on to the Gentiles. And this Acts transition to book shows us, to me, more of the Jewish involvement than we ever get in those books that he wrote directly to Gentiles. And now we don't even call ourselves Gentiles. We're Church of God. You know, from a technical standpoint, we're no longer Gentiles. So he goes out to the Gentiles, and we get saved, and we become part of the Church of God. We become part of the body of Christ. So we're not even right to be using the word Gentile on us, but nobody out there would get a hold of that thing. I have been inundated with emails from the James White anti-King James only crowd because of a quote I have on my website, and I haven't even told them my reasoning for it yet. They would never begin to understand it. And I have one that said he's going to listen to the Gainsayer series and get back to me. Yeah, right. But I hope he does. And I had one, a pastor, who was writing to me about a couple of questions about what I say about Paul. So maybe a couple opportunities might pop out of there, but I'm certainly not going to dedicate my time to answering all those emails. They all ask the same question, almost word for word. So we can tell that they're just little clones, little James White clones, you know, kind of a thing. James White is, I call him the Peter Buckman of the anti-King James Bible crowd. There was another guy for the longest time, I can't even think of his name, he even debated Ruckman one time over the King James thing, and he just looked like a fool. But can't even think of his name. But anyway, none of these guys said anything about Paul. My whole website is based on Paul. King James Bible is just an assumed fact when you get to the website. There's some things on there for it, but anyway. So tonight, we're going to start in chapter 16. And I just read through that last couple of days, and you can do the same thing. you read through, we're going to maybe 16, 17, 18, maybe 19 tonight. I don't know. We'll see. And we just see some things that's in the scriptures here that took place in Paul's life during this time. And we don't deal with that today. So we come up with a question, if we're to follow Paul, then why don't we do these things? Paul did them. Why don't I believe that we should baptize in the Lord's Supper? Paul did that stuff. Well, you'll see how he did it and why he did it and where he did it and for whom did he do it. And yet we're going to still see that little mush of transition where he's going from the Jews to the Jews and the Gentiles and eventually to the Gentiles. So let's look at chapter 16 tonight. I just got some jots here. We're just going to look at some verses and we'll read them and see where the chit-chat goes. After they were, and we don't even read the whole chapter for the context. You can look back at it if you want, you know. In chapter 16, verse 6, for example, we see the phrase, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, see there's Galatians, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Okay, now, you know, we know that God doesn't stop us from doing anything. He doesn't. If we're forbidden from something, it's because it's in the Bible. But to be forbidden to go someplace, like it says, forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, is there someplace God doesn't want us to take this Bible, to take these words? No. But after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. I mean, God really stopped them from doing something. And we don't have that today. And I think that has a lot to do with why Christians, even Paul following Christians who don't know this kind of stuff about it, they're going to go off and do something they shouldn't be doing, and they figure God will stop it if they pray about it. Well, I'll pray about it, see if God wants me to do this or not. No, read your Bible. Don't pray about it. Read your Bible. And seeing if that's where he'd have you work. Seeing if that's what you have to do. Is that what you have to sacrifice? Do you need to sacrifice your family to make this kind of money? I mean, there's all sorts of ways to look at this. He doesn't just say, yes, take this job. Yes, move to this town. He gives you all the particulars of being a Christian. And then you know from wisdom standpoint, because we're supposed to grow up as Christians, be mature, like men, he says there, then we'll know. And God has told us whether we should or should not go someplace or whatever, based on his teachings about our life. But here, they were just flat forbidden to go. And it wouldn't let them. You know, the Spirit suffered them not, didn't allow them to go. So there's one. What about these people that say, you know, God stopped me from going? No, he didn't. You think that flat tire you got was God flattening your tire? No, you ran over a nail. Yeah, if he hadn't gone, you wouldn't have hit it. I mean, there's things that we think God would do, but he won't. So we get these people that say, well, if God doesn't want me to listen to this music, then he'll take it away from me. No, he won't. He'll let you listen to the crummiest junk, and he won't stop you from it. He'll teach you about it in the Bible, but he won't stop you from it. And you will not be judged because all things are lawful. But it's not the right thing to do, da-da-da-da. There goes that list. And the listening of that music will burn in the judgment seat. It doesn't give God the glory. And it's not clean. It's not good for you physically. It's not good for you mentally. It's not good for you even spiritually. But you'll have to learn that the hard way. Unless you just trust your scriptures to teach you about music, for example. Okay. Well, let's go on. Verse 9. Here we go. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. We don't get visions. Yeah, we get visions, but they aren't from God. We know that because this is Great Commission. This is gospel time. This is Old Testament stuff. And you look at what miracles and signs and wonders and even this vision stuff that's going on. It's from the devil. Revelation 14, Revelation 16, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And a vision? We got a Bible now. He's not going to come to us in a vision. He's going to come to us in the Bible. Now, you may dream about something, I think, because you've read your Bible and you've got this on your mind. Or whatever it is that makes dreams happen or whatever, you know, the fears you have, the underlying things taking place in your life, whatever, you know. But that isn't God's going to speak to us in a vision. or in a dream, any of that stuff. And here we see Paul doing this. Well, we're going to, as we go through 16, 17, 18, if we get to 19 tonight, which I can't imagine we will, we keep seeing this word pop up all the time, and that's synagogue. Paul is in the synagogue more than he's not. And who's in the synagogue? So this is still the gang he's talking with, and yet the Gentiles hear about it, and the Gentiles come around, and they're not stupid. They see something happen miraculous. They go, man, that's exciting. That guy's got God. I mean, let's follow him. And the Jews struggle because they were taught about the law, and they're just not going to give it up. They're such diehards with the law. The Gentiles, they were given a conscience. I haven't received any comments yet from anybody who's heard me, if they've even heard me say, that the heathen, the Gentiles, in the Old Testament, were not bound by the Ten Commandments. I think that's something people just don't realize. That was Jewish laws to the Jews. I think that's just a fascinating thought. To think of, well, if that was to the Jews then, why are we trying to do it now? Well, Paul does talk about them. So they should be something we should look to. Except the one, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But the Gentiles are never told to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know, the heathen. Romans chapter 2 tells us they were given a conscience. And they were to know. Well, the heathen didn't. Well, yeah. And what does Paul talk about? Paul mentions in Timothy today that our conscience is seared. Why? He's talking to Gentiles. So our conscience gets seared. We don't even know right and wrong anymore. I can hardly say anything at school to these kids without them finding some innuendo in there that makes them giggle. Well, I'm dealing with middle school kids. What do you expect? You know, but... So we're going backward society. We're getting rid of our clothes. We're getting rid of our cleanliness. Look at the Occupy stuff. I mean, it's just animals. Anyway, no, I'm just yakking. Okay, so 9 and 10 talks about a vision. I got notes. Let's go down to 14. 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, there we go, which worshiped God, heard us. Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So the Lord opens up somebody's heart. Does that mean today that when we witness to somebody, God's either going to close or open their heart, going to keep their heart closed, or he's going to open it? I believe that we look at that thing today, that when we read somebody's scriptures, they hear some scripture someplace, where then their heart gets opened if they're willing, if their ears aren't waxed up and their eyes aren't blinded, all the things that Paul talks about, you know, in Romans and things, that, yeah, but the Lord is not going to just flat open up somebody's heart and not open somebody else's. I just don't think that. That's election. That's choosing. Look at verse 15. It goes right into a baptism. And when she was baptized and her household... Why does the household get baptized? She besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us and kept them there. And you look at any of that stuff, that's not quite how we do it. I mean, just because mom gets saved and baptized, the whole family doesn't jump in today. And we would look at this today where, you know, are we faithful in my household to have the pastor over? I know so many people that had to clean the house and get everybody all fussied up and dussied up and gussied up, and the pastor's coming over for dinner and all this kind of stuff, you know. And what a front, what a fake. And the pastor today is just another guy that has the opportunity to study more than other people can, because that's kind of his... Well, if he's got the time for it, he fits it in. Or he's paid to do it or whatever. I remember those days I was actually paid to study the Bible. And it was funny because he always said, your sermons are too... I used to do hour and a half sermons, Dan, way back at the beginning. And people used to say, man, your sermons are too long. And I remember one little raise I got. I said, it's really kind of a funny thing, but you guys are going to pay me more money to talk less. Can you imagine a guy at work? Hey, you're doing too good a job. I need to give you a raise. I want you not to work as hard as you have been. It's just kind of a funny thing, you know. And now, who we got online here? And now, back there, they have church, for those of you who know where I'm coming from, they have church Sunday morning. They don't have church on Sunday night, and nobody goes on Wednesday nights because he's just doing some weird stuff. Isn't that sad? We went from three services plus a Monday night Bible study. Sometimes we had a Tuesday night Bible study. And sometimes even threw in Thursday because we were having such a great time going through Jeremiah way back in the olden days to now where they don't even have Sunday night service. It's amazing where we've gone. If I wasn't doing school, of course I shouldn't say this because I didn't have school during the summer, but I was like sickly and whiny during the summer. I like to do this more often, but oh well. Okay, let's get back to the subject here. Verse 18. Some more things that, and this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. You ever tried that on anybody? I know a lot of people I could have tried that on, but it wouldn't have done anything. It would have just made them mad. But if somebody gets into that Bible, and do we have the evil spirit? That's our flesh. So we get into this Bible, and does the spirit leave us? This evil stuff leave us? No, our flesh is full of sin. Can we be possessed of the devil? I have no doubt that we can. But it's our flesh. We get addicted, and we just can't stop. But it's our flesh we're following. But as far as we're concerned, we're separated and kept away from it. So actually, if you think about it, we've actually been the ones that have come out. We're the ones that have come out. The sin and the devil and all that stuff is still in our flesh. But Christ took us out of that. Spiritual circumcision. Circumcision made without hands. Circumcision of Christ. What do we got here? Let's go to 21. And I guess this is just a mentioning here, which says, and teach customs. We'll go back to 20. And brought them to the magistrates. You know, Paul and Silas were arrested because of all this stuff they were doing to people. These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive. So neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose together against them. Well, that can happen to us. Teach customs. We teach things that people just don't buy. So, you know, from this standpoint, this is something that this part of this transition, some of this stuff starts to take place. Church offering, specials, every Sunday, every Wednesday. You know, we just got customs. We got things that Paul takes us away from that. So it gets rid of that religion in us. So that's a good thing there. Let's get on here to, here's a good one, verse 25. We got this earthquake. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And you know the story, the doors opened, but they didn't leave, you know, blah, 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 blah. But these guys are singing praise. Have you ever been singing praises and ever had an earthquake come because of that? Do you ever have some kind of something happen at work because you're singing praises and something happens at work to where you could leave if you want to? Or whatever. That doesn't happen today. I know y'all going to think all sorts of things happen when you sing. People leave, dogs howl, but that's not the Lord working in people. That's just, they just got an ear and you don't, or whatever. So there's that story. Way down to 34. Go down to 31 here, and we see an interesting thing where it says 30, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? There's the question. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. There that is again. And the Calvinists, Baptists, take that as they see if dad gets saved, then the whole family was going to be saved based on dad's salvation. That's not how Paul teaches today. And here's the answer to this thing. What's going on here? Believe on the Lord. Is Paul talking about the salvation we hear in Ephesians 1 kind of a thing? Look at 20:32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. Okay? He washed their stripes, baptized them, and the whole thing. He and all his straightway. Now look at verse 34 here. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. So when he was believing in God. He would believe that God was God and Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I'm sure that was part of the issue here. But this is what they're talking about here. Now we have people that believe in God. Their whole household believes in God. But does that make them saved today? You know, what truly is salvation? What are the verses that teach about salvation? Is it just believing in God? And the whole house believes in God. We got houses all over this country that believe in God. And they rally for this and they rally for that. They send money here, they send money there, they help this pastor out, they help that cause out. They all believe in God. And they believe that God is created America. They all believe that if we were to pray and seek his face and pray that he'll heal this nation. It goes down this list. If you obey the commandments, God will bless you. Why? Because they believe in God. And they believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And they believe that he rose again. No doubt. That's your standard American church still. But why don't they want to study what he taught when he rose again? Because he went to the Gentiles pretty soon. He went to everybody through the Jews, just like he said he was going to. That's what we're reading now. Then this Paul guy comes along. And what we're doing tonight, for the gainsayers that listen into this thing, we're looking at where Paul does some things that still has the Great Commission flavor because it's still Jewish flavored. Okay, let's get back on trail here. Oh, let's see here. Chapter 17. I may be missing some too, but here we go. Chapter 17. And it's hard not to talk about these chapters. Acts to me is very interesting because it's just Paul's day-to-day life. And we did a series a long time ago, back when we first started this thing, The Life of Paul. We didn't teach his doctrines. We just studied his life. And that was interesting because we find out that we are going to have the same kind of life he has if we try to follow Paul at all. So that was an interesting series. I enjoyed teaching that thing. Okay, how are we doing here? Chapter 17. Let's see here. I should look up at the camera more, but it's just so awkward for me to look up into the camera. So you video people, you're just going to have to deal with the fact I never look up at you. And you're just off in the back corner watching this radio broadcast take place, I guess. Commercial free, of course. Chapter 17, verse 1. Here we go. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia or whatever, they came to Thessalonica. Great. What do we know? Where we know is coming out of this part, this time? There was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, see, I mean, that's just what Paul did still. This is chapter 17. This isn't 9 or 10. This is chapter 17. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Well, he didn't have Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. He was the New Testament. So he's still showing them Old Testament Scriptures. Well, you know, Isaiah, we know there's stuff in there that talks about this coming Messiah. Now look at this here. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, that's the way the plan was, and risen again from the dead. Now look at this. And underline this for future reference to people, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. This is still what Paul's teaching. Who's he teaching it to? The Jews in the synagogue. You know, when you think about it, we pretty much have to get people to believe that this King James Bible is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. You acknowledge that this is the Word of God, and God will step into your lives. You'll get saved by having a King James Bible in your possession. I'm not saying that. But if you acknowledge that that's the Word of God, and you dig into that thing, and you, I believe this, well, everything I got, that you acknowledge this is the Word of God. That, in fact, let's look it up here. It's in 2 Timothy. Then things will happen in your life. I believe that. Here we go. It's to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, where he says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You acknowledge the truth, King James Bible, rightly divided, and God will give you that repentance. And then you got to get out of the mess yourself, he says still. But in the Jewish times here, they had to believe that he was Christ. This Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. This Bible, which I quote to you, is the Word of God, is the Scriptures. Anyway, 4, and some of them believed. Okay, believed what? That this Jesus is Christ. So, there is again, Acts 17. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy. Well, we know that whole story, but Jason, is that the Jason story? Yep, this is Jason, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, get past that, go to verse 10. What do we see again? And the brethren, we see this Berea stuff. This is interesting to me. This Berea, everybody knows the Bereans, you know, kind of a thing. Now listen to this here. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Clue, right there. These, who? The people in the synagogue of the Jews, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Who are these people? These are the Bereans. But where do these Bereans exist? In the synagogue of the Jews. Therefore, many of them believed. Okay, believed what? Let's go back, back to verse 3, that this is Christ. This Jesus is Christ. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge, this is just Jewish stuff still, that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. So we got that whole story that takes place there. But what I want us to see is these Bereans were in the synagogue of the Jews. And they believed what? That he was the Christ. This still does not show what Paul is teaching to the Gentiles. It's a different message here to the Jews that Paul had than he had for the Gentiles. Which I think, like I said, is helping me understand why Paul even wrote the book of Hebrews. Because he had stuff to say to the Jews that he didn't teach to the Gentiles. Okay, let's go down to verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Does that happen to us anymore? But whose spirit was stirred? Paul's spirit, his spirit. We don't have to be so always spiritually led. Ourselves, our person, our spirit, me, can be stirred. But we are so unstirrable anymore because we know we're not going to get anywhere. We believe without a shadow of a doubt that whatever, what's the point? So we don't allow ourselves to get stirred. We just live with everything. We're probably about as ecumenical with God's grace as anybody else. And Paul doesn't teach us that way necessarily. He teaches us to stand up. He teaches us to be bold, not loud. He just teaches us to tell people this stuff and show these things. And you bring it up in a conversation, we know you're going to get shut down. But if you're good enough at it with your scriptures, at least you can go down swinging or go down speaking because his spirit was stirred. I was thinking of a couple of bunny trails, but I think I'll stay out of it. Hi, Bob. Good to see you there. We're in Acts chapter 17. Okay, now look what happens here. His spirit was stirred when he was in Athens. That's Greece. That's, you know. Therefore. Okay, so his spirit was stirred. So therefore, he disputed. I love those therefores. I mean, that just carries, locks things together. Therefore, disputed he where? And with whom? I thought Peter was the guy called to these guys. He was the apostle to the circumcision. What's Paul doing yakking to these guys? Well, Romans chapter 10, I think it's verse 3. Oh, 1, 2, and 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And that's what Paul teaches to the Gentiles, the righteousness of God. Anyway, keep reading Romans 10. Just takes that and runs with it. Okay, let's go back. We're looking at Acts 17. He's stirred. We'd allow ourselves to still be stirred about stuff, even if it's just you. I don't bring things up at home anymore. What's the point? I get stirred. Water gets put on it. I get stirred at school every day. And I try to deal with stuff in such a subtle, behind-the-scenes manner, but not like I'd like to. Boy, when I was a pastor, I would get stirred over things that nobody else would. So this being stirred, my spirit, we can still be stirred as a person who we are. And he disputed. You see, he was disputing with the Jews. That was still part of the scene here. Okay, here. 17, verse 17 of the Jews. Okay. Let's go to chapter 18. There's a bunch of stuff in there. The Epicureans and the Stoics, you know, and they thought that he was a setter forth of strange gods. I could so easily talk about what Paul taught. Here's his sermon to the guys in Athens, which knocks out the way people worship in churches today. But we're looking for the things, this is, I'm trying to maintain this series into what Paul was doing that was still considered a great commission. Because he's still working to the Jews. And it helps us understand why Peter said what he said about what Paul taught to the Jews. They didn't understand what he was talking about. And why it's at the end of the Bible. Chapter 18. Here we go. Chapter 18. What have we got in here? Yeah, we're just going to get to... I talk too long, you know. 18 and 19. 18, here we go. I got verse 2. It says here, and found a certain... Okay. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Okay? Corinth. We know what that's all about. And found a certain Jew named Aquila, or Aquila, whatever, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Jews again. And because of the same craft, et cetera, et cetera. Look at verse 4. Here we are again. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Okay, so we know from the other books, like Corinthians, for example, he's still talking to Gentiles with their Gentile message. But he's got different things for the Jews. What was that? That Christ, this Jesus was Christ. Well, the Gentiles had to believe that too. Yeah, and we know that Paul tells them that they had to hear the gospel of their salvation, believe, and trust. Anyway, get back in. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And here's verse 5, where he says, and Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia. Paul was pressed in the spirit. There it is again. And here it is again, and testified to the Jews, what? That Jesus was Christ. That's still the issue to these Jews. Well, of course it is. They found out they killed Jesus as their own Messiah, that they killed Stephen, and they want to get after Peter, but now Peter's out of the scene. This is just Paul now. And Paul's going to the Jews with this risen Savior stuff, but for a Jew, he's still convincing them that, hey, this is the Christ. This is who I'm talking about here. And the Gentiles, we're getting the teachings from the risen Christ, from the risen Savior, to the Gentiles. And I'll show you something here in a minute. Let's keep going here. So he was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, This is Paul. He shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. And when he taught stuff to the Jews and that this was Christ, they didn't want to hear about it. He says, okay, fine, you know. You can see him take his clothes and go, foom, 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 foom. I'm clean. I'm out of here. From henceforth, I'll go into the Gentiles. Great. So here's one. Here's another place where he goes off from a certain group of Jews and goes off to the Gentiles. And he's got stuff to teach the Gentiles that we know in Romans chapter 11 is stuff that makes the Jews just drool. Was supposed to make them drool and want what the Gentiles were given. You mean to tell me that all they have to do is have their faith and they receive the faith of Jesus Christ? Wow, what happened to us? Oh, you killed him. You're not interested. He just said in 13, you deem yourselves unworthy. So, I head off to the Gentiles. They're game. They're excited about it. Remember what James, well, okay, let's let them get to all the stuff about God, but let's make sure they still don't fornicate and do this and do that and whatever. And make sure you still feed the poor. Just keep the law going here, you know, but, yeah, that's okay. Okay. I've got here 6 here. Went unto the Gentiles. I got 8, verse 8. Well, let's read verse 7, I guess. 8, 9, 10 here. 7, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. I'm going to believe that that's is connected. I don't think it means his people in his house were hard Jews. I think it says whose house, that's the building, joined hard to the synagogue. So he's attached to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Really? Corinthians, huh? Well, yeah, if you've read Corinthians, which we won't do now, but if you go back and you go see, there's baptism in there. Sure there is. But, see? There's things that are said that Paul says, well, I'm not here to baptize people. I got other stuff to teach. And the baptism thing just goes out. It's not one of the two ordinances at all. In fact, no place does it say two ordinances. You already know that. You've heard me say that. No place does it say two ordinances, and no place does it say these are the two ordinances. Neither does it define them as ordinances. So any baptism we see taking place, there's Jews in the neighborhood. Because that's still a John's baptism sign. But he also finds out in Corinthians that you guys got baptized, what? Was it just a John's baptism? Well, you know, remember he has to lay his hands on them after they get baptized? We're not talking about the same kind of a saving baptism. We're not talking about the kind of a baptism after somebody gets saved. Paul has to lay his hands on them for them to still receive the Holy Ghost. So it still isn't comparable to what we're teaching today with what the risen Savior taught to Paul to teach to us. It's not the same stuff. Okay, let's see here. 9, 9, 9, 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Back to that. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Okay. Now, does Paul tell us that, not to be afraid? Well, yeah, he tells us to be not afraid. He tells us to speak and hold not thy peace, but he tells us to have wisdom. This doesn't tell us to go out there and just mouth off. He says in verse 10, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city. Okay, now haven't you said something to somebody? Scripture, Paul, King James only. And you wonder why God allowed them to either fire you, or transfer you, or no longer be your friend, or maybe even got punched or got hurt, or something. Now here we go. I know a lot of street guys that get into fights because they're just being mouthy and rude and in your face because of your sin, you queer. And I just don't believe that. That's what Paul wants us to be doing. Not like that. Those guys aren't going to hell because they're queer. It's like they hear the stuff, if you clean up your act, then you can get saved. Where does it say that? I know where it says that. It doesn't say that in Paul. These street guys are just way off base. All it's doing is making people mad at the King James Bible, mad at these preachers that are horrible visual examples, and their wives out there preaching away, and these little four, these little kids out there preaching to adults, totally wrong, respect-wise. No little kid's going to tell anybody that you're going to die and go to hell because you're a sinner. That isn't what Paul's trying to get here. And yet during Paul's time, the Lord, you know, said, it said spake the Lord to Paul. We've got to get the King James Bible to tell us what to do these days. And he says, listen, go out there and don't be afraid. Talk to people and hold on to their peace. Tell them what they need to hear. And I'll take care of you. Nobody's going to hurt you. Well, nobody's going to hurt you. Paul, man, Paul was arrested. He was whipped. What is this? And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Isn't that, that's 6 months, and God protected him. That's what he did. So we get that protection today? Well, yeah, if you go to ecumenicalize and do a message out there with nothing in it. Anyway, quit beating up on the street preacher guys and all that stuff. They mean well. They just don't know their Bible. They know what they've been taught in street preacher school. Well, let's get on to verse 18. Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while. He's in Sosthenes. And then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, or Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, and he had a vow. What? Man, that's just reeks Jewish right there. So what's going on there? Well, you ever met these serious Bible preaching guys, or these street people, or somebody that first gets excited about the Bible? What's something they usually do, some of these guys? They shave off their hair. It's not one of those extreme things, you know. Well, Paul did, so why don't we? Well, Paul's going someplace, so why don't we? Do we need to get involved in involved with Pentecost? Do we need to do some of these Jewish things? Do we need to shave our heads off and go to these purification things and all that stuff? Why would Paul do that? Paul said he did that so we could talk to him. Okay, well then let's use that excuse and let's go down to the local bar and let's talk to those guys. We need to tip a few with them, and it's okay, I can control it, I can hold it. I'll go to movies with them, I'll go see this junk. That thing that Paul said to Philip, you know, where you're going out there and you not only are you participating with what they're doing, they think you believe what they're doing because you're doing it. Dissembled, I think that was the word, right? Right? And we got to think that if we don't say something, those other people think you believe just like they do. And I don't like that. I wish somebody would ask me, why don't you go to church? And I'll be glad to tell them if you've got the time. My answers are never short. Remember Bob back in Tushy, somebody asked me about music one time. And he's a Pentecostal guy, asked him about music, and it took me all afternoon. I just preached on it for about 4 hours. Got to be careful of that stuff. I just get excited. I want to just tell people the whole Paul thing. Show them the whole spiel, as they would say in Germany here. Okay, so we do 19. We're in chapter 18. We do chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 19. Yep, Jewish stuff. Okay, then we go to verse 27. I've got written down here, 27. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. Well, that's good. Well, Paul was teaching grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews. Oh, there it is again. I mean, it keeps popping up here. And that publicly. What publicly? Convincing the Jews. And that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. That is still the issue, Acts 18, with the Jews. Acts 18 is quarter 2. 19 has got some stuff. We'll just stop there, although you can keep reading, no big deal. You can go into 19:20, finish out the book of Acts. You go all the way to the very end. He's always talking to the Jews in there still. But we're looking at Acts 19. Now, let me go back to my first notes here. Acts 19, and Corinthians was written around 19 and 20. 2 Corinthians and Romans is about to be written during the time of chapters 20 and 21. So how can this be? How can he have a Jewish message to these guys about he is Christ, and to the Gentiles he teaches what he teaches in these in these books from Romans to Philemon, because he's still talking about the risen Savior, but he's using signs and miracles because the Jews are watching. But as he goes closer to the Gentiles more and more, that all that stuff in him goes away, because the Gentiles, even though they responded to it that way at the beginning, wouldn't you? But the message to the Gentiles is not visual signs, it's faith. Your faith in this Savior, this Christ, will give you his faith. And then Paul teaches you about that stuff. Where he says, where in Ephesians, he says, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul's got something to say, but he's teaching it to the Gentiles because the Jews didn't want it. And yet we have a book in here called Hebrews, because Paul wrote a whole book to the Jews. And it's put at the end, because the Jews would be the main character again during the tribulation. So, and yet, who's the apostle to the Jews? Peter. But Peter's not in the picture anymore here. Peter's out. This is Paul going to the Jews, oracles first, and he's fading away from the Jews, heading on to the Gentiles, and pretty soon here it'll be Gentiles only. And yet, that should help you read, when you read Corinthians, and even Galatians, but especially Corinthians. Do you see things that Paul did and said in there that don't match the rest of his teachings? Because there were Jews there. And we're seeing how often there were Jews there. So that's why the Lord's Supper and baptism and laying on of hands and healings and all this stuff is not today. But it was during the Great Commission. Great Commission's over with. Great Commission had to have signs following. But Paul doesn't have signs following. Paul follows with faith. And we have the scriptures that teach us that. And these scriptures, this King James Bible, is that which is perfect. It's come. And all that other stuff before in Paul's time, done away. It doesn't happen anymore. We got a Bible to get it all from that Bible. God's going to tell you what to do and what not to do through this Bible. He's not going to make you do it. It's just that simple. And like he says in Romans 12 again, listen, It's just reasonable service. I can ask you to have your body, your day-to-day living, a reasonable service. Calls it a holy sacrifice. We still got our flesh, but inside us is holiness. And we should be willing to sacrifice what we want for what's right. Somewhat. Somehow. And yeah, we will not be held accountable, but our works will be. Because we've already had our accountability dealt with by his sacrifice. That's why in the judgment seat of Christ it says the works are going to burn, but not us. We're not the ones on the stand anymore. We've already been there, and Christ took all that for us. Now we just need to try to do some of the right stuff and help those that are trying to do right and teach that and you pass it on to somebody else. And you're going to get these James White Goombas that don't pay any attention to scripture at all just by what their leader taught them. So, like Paul says, avoid them, get out of there, get away, don't waste your time with them, dust your shoes and hit the road. That's what Paul says. That's how Paul maintains his joy and his peace. You don't want to hear it? I'm moving on. And today, Romans 11:22, we're running out of people interested. I mean, they're just not interested. And they're taking their children down with them. That's what's sad.